Welcome to this sermon podcast from Myo Baptist Church, and thank you for listening to today's message. We pray that God's Word will be an encouragement to you and a reminder that the Bible has all the answers to living a successful and fulfilled life. Again, thanks for listening. We now join the service in progress.
Genesis chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. We're just going to look at verse 9 now, and then we'll look at the other verse later. Here's the verse I want us to focus on. This is such a huge verse, folks. I mean, if you take your faith seriously, this verse is just the Mount Rushmore of verses. Colossians 2:9, talking about Jesus. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And then verse number 10, which we'll get to more in a second. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. But what we're going to primarily focus on, at least for the first half, is for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Now, why is that important? Well, we're going to look at that verse in detail, is exactly what that is saying. But let me say this. There's been lots of folks then and today who will tell you, Your liberal friends will tell you, well, yeah, the evidence is overwhelming that Christ existed. There was a man named Jesus, but he was just a good man. Okay. The idea that he was God is preposterous. He was just a good man. And they will tell you, now where this comes from is beyond me, because nothing could be further from the truth. They will tell you he never claimed to be God, and he was never acclaimed by others to be God. It's obvious they've never read their Bibles. They don't know what they're talking about. So there are people. Then you remember Epaphras, the pastor of the church at Colossae, goes to Paul, finds him, because there's people in the church that are spreading that kind of stuff. The truth of God's word has been under attack from the inception. And God's people have got to be discerning, got to be thoughtful, got to be judgmental, to make sure we stay on the right path. So Epaphras goes to the Apostle Paul, and he says, you know, we got Gnostics and other people in here. I don't remember the names for all the crazy groups that existed back then. But spreading stuff, like, you know, he wasn't fully man, he wasn't fully God. He was kind of, you know, his man side was human and prone to sin, but his spirit side, all kind of, you know, as weird as men can think, they come up with this kind of stuff. And so Epaphras goes to Paul, and Paul writes this letter and says, you know, take this back. You know, here's what you need to know. And one of the things he said is concerning Jesus, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. One commentator that I use often is David Guzik. He writes the following, talking about that verse. In him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead. This is a dramatic, airtight declaration of the full deity of Jesus. Now, folks, that's important, because this is who we're putting our faith and trust in. Okay, that man, Jesus, that walked this earth 2,000 years ago, my whole life revolves around him. From how I dress to where I go, who my friends are, it revolves around him. We got to get this right. I mean, we don't want to be chasing some Jim Jones, leads us all to South America and drink the Kool-Aid kind of stuff. No, we got to make sure we get this right. And here's a man that has studied this, and here's a theologian. This is a dramatic, airtight declaration of the full deity of Jesus. Since all the fullness of the Godhead dwells in Jesus, he cannot be a halfway God or a junior God. The Jehovah Witness have all kind of crazy ideas about this right here. So we're not talking about some pie in the sky stuff. Well, who doesn't believe that Jesus is fully God and fully man? Lots of people, folks. Lots of people. Matthew Henry, another one of my favorite commentators, on that verse says this. Under the law, the presence of God dwelt between the cherubim. I'm talking about in the Old Testament. The presence of God dwelt between the cherubims in a cloud which covered the mercy seat. But now it dwells in the person of our Redeemer, who partakes of our nature and is bone of our bones and flesh of our flesh, and has more clearly declared the Father to us. Now, again, we got to get this right. We're not here playing games. We're here because of Jesus. One reason we're here, Jesus Christ. And if we get that wrong, that's not good. Understatement. It starts off that verse, it says, for, means because. The Colossians were to be on guard. Paul is starting off, he starts off by saying, for in him. For what? It means be on guard for any philosophical pretenders. Be on guard for those that will teach some false gospel or false doctrine. We are so blessed to have the safety of this book. Were it not for this book, we could be following men's crazy ideas. But we can check out every man's ideas as to whether they are crazy or not by this book. We are people of the book. Now, remember, he says, for, as he's talking, he comes to verse number 9, he says, for in him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That for means, look back, what are we talking about? Well, in verse number 8, in the previous verse, before number 9, he states specifically, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy, vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. That was a problem. Then, people taking Jesus, and maybe crediting Jesus, but attributing to Jesus things that were not true, or not accrediting to Jesus things that were true. And that, look, just turn on all those religious channels on your TV, and you'll hear every crazy thing in the world. And they will make it sound good. So again, the truth has always been under attack. And somebody's got to just stop and stand for the word. And that's what we do here. That keeps us safe. So they start off by saying, for, and then in him, who are we talking about here? The man Jesus Christ. And then it uses this word. And here's a slide behind me, dwelleth. Now, every one of these words, this is just a short little verse, but every one of these words are important. It says, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Dwelleth, when they say that about Jesus, that in him dwells the Godhead bodily, dwelleth means it shows permanence. It means literally to settle down, to be at home, to dwell in a place so that to take up permanent abode or residence. There is something that is in Jesus Christ that has been there, is there, and will always be there. It's in the present tense. Jesus has always been and always will be. And then it uses the word fullness. For in him dwelleth all the fullness. It means the full measure, with the emphasis on complete. When you come to Jesus, you're dealing with fullness. He lacks nothing. You have found it. What has been lacking in your life has now been found when you find Jesus. He's not going to solve some of the issues, some of the problems. He is going to completely satisfy. He is not lacking. This day and age, you have a problem, you go see this specialist, and he can only handle thyroid issues. And then you go see this specialist who only handles intestinal issues. And then you need somebody, you know, what's the doctors that deal with bones? Then you got to go see an orthopedist. But here it says fullness, full measure of the Godhead. What's that talking about? Of the divinity, the divine nature. It is all residing in Jesus. David Guzik, to quote him again, says this concerning Paul saying that in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead. He says, Paul is declaring that in the Son there dwells all the fullness of absolute Godhead. There were no mere rays of divine glory which gilded him, lighting up his person for a season and with splendor not his own, but he was and is absolute and perfect God. That's what Paul is saying. Don't be confused. Don't let anybody lead you astray. Well, he was a good teacher. That won't get you anywhere. And again, it says, for in him dwelleth. That is, this was the great and central doctrine that was to be maintained about Christ at that time, that all the fullness of the Godhead dwelt in him. Because people were confused back then. What, was he just a man? Was he a spirit being? Who is this guy? I mean, he demonstrated the ability to do miracles, whether it was to walk on water or heal, you know, raise the dead. And these people at that time, a lot of them are confused, and a lot of them, like today, refuse to believe. So Paul is saying, for in him dwelleth all of this bodily. And the fair sense of the phrase is that the fullness of the divine nature became incarnate. It became human flesh and was indwelling in the body of the Redeemer. There's nothing you can read that will clarify any greater than this simple sentence what it means for Christ to be divine. I don't have this quote on the screen, but Matthew Henry said, "The fullness of the Godhead dwells in Christ really and not figuratively, for he is both God and man." J. Vernon McGee, a lot of you are familiar with him of the past, he said, "Paul's teaching in this verse is a clear-cut statement of the deity of Christ. It could not be stated any stronger than it is here." And that should be reassuring to all of us who put our faith in him, who called upon him to be our Savior. Now, how should that affect us? That information that we have, if we just store it in our brain, is of really little effect. Let me read to you that couple paragraphs that Charles Spurgeon wrote concerning this statement, this verse. Listen to what's written. And let this soak in. Because sometimes you don't appreciate things. I forget what I was watching or heard, and somebody made the statement, you don't appreciate it till you lose it. You know, we've all said that and probably experienced that. And having never lost our faith, maybe sometimes we need to be careful that we might lose it. You need to realize how wonderful it is just to know you're saved and you're sitting here tonight because you're saved. You know, think about it. There's so many people. You know, I think about wealthy people, movie stars, you know, big business tycoons, professional athletes and whatever, who seem to me to be the most miserable people on the face of the earth, those that aren't saved. Now, you can be saved and wealthy, and there are some folks like that. But, I mean, these folks, you know, in the business world, these business tycoons, you know, they're in their, you know, $1,000 suits, and they're going to their cocktail parties, and they're flirting with the secretaries and what have you, and they got to have their drinks, and they sneak off to, you know, do their drugs and what have you, and, you know, all these people. Think how blessed you are that you can just go home this afternoon, probably still daylight when you get home, and sit on your porch and have peace. You're way richer than any of those folks. They got all the toys in the world, and they're the most miserable, and they could go to any place in the world, and they got homes in Switzerland and, you know, Vail, Colorado, and Los Angeles, and a luxury apartment in New York, and they're miserable, they're searching. You know, we're the richest people on the earth. We go home and have our fried bologna sandwich, and we need to have a fried bologna night. Sharon, you need to make that happen. We need to have, you know, it needs to be an annual event, fried bologna after an evening service in the winter. Here's what Spurgeon says. In Christ, this is based upon the verse. And again, what does the verse say? Let me read it. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and we are complete in him. In Christ, we enter into the fullness and completeness of life, both materially and spiritually. Why do you want to go anywhere else for wisdom? What can you find by going elsewhere? You know, I pull my hair out. Why do you want to go to the bar room? You know, why do you want to go to the nightclub? Why do you have to watch that stuff? Why do you have to read that stuff? Why do you have to be with those people? You're complete in Christ. Why do you want to go anywhere else for wisdom? This is Spurgeon preaching. You see, times doesn't change back in the late 1800s. What can you find by going elsewhere? For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Then he says, you have everything in Christ that you ought to want. You are fully furnished, completely supplied and equipped for all future service. You need not go to Christ for the supply of some of your needs and then go elsewhere for the supply of other needs. But ye are complete in him. And then he finishes by saying, the whole of Christ in his adorable character as the Son of God is by himself made over to us most richly to enjoy. His wisdom is our direction. His knowledge, our instruction. His power, our protection. His justice, our surety. His love, our comfort. His mercy, our solace. And his immutability, our trust. Immutability means he doesn't change. So you can trust him. I mean, to go home tonight, maybe to a modest home, but a roof over your head, and some salami in the refrigerator. No, bologna, fried bologna. Salami, bologna, either one. You know, you're rich. You know, and the peace of mind that you have that these other folks so desperately lack. And to think that it all came to us in human form. In him, Jesus, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He walked this earth. And there were hundreds, thousands of people that had the privilege of seeing him with their own eyes. And the apostles walked with him personally, sat around campfire. Can you imagine sitting around a campfire under the desert sky and a million stars in the sky and a crackling fire and Jesus is there doing the teaching? Can you imagine that? But he came in human form. I read this little story. A little girl once said to her mother, Mama, I like you better than God. Oh, you can't say that, replied the mother. Yes, but really, Mama, I do like you better than God. Shocked, the mother inquired, Dear, what makes you say such a thing? The child answered simply, Well, Mama, because I can hug you. And the writer of that story said that little girl expressed the universal desire of man to have contact with God in a personal, tangible way. And Jesus gave us that personal, tangible way. We do like to talk to people and interact with people and have friendship with people. He came. He came. God in the flesh came. He is somebody that they could, you know, he's not living now, not humanly speaking, but he was hugged. He did do handshakes. There were people then that did get to know him. Someone has said the kindest thing God ever did was to become a man. It is indeed a thrilling truth. Because of the incarnation, we can now have a much clearer understanding of God. And we can experience a warm, personal contact with him through the person of his Son. No wonder the Apostle John declared, we beheld his glory. In verse number 10, and we'll wrap this up. It says this. Now, verse number 9, let me go back and read it. Verse number 9 says, For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And again, get your mind around the significance of that statement, because everything we believe rests on that being true. But then that being true has a profound effect upon us. Because verse number 10 says, And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Now, concerning that verse, I appreciate what John MacArthur had to say about that. As a result of the fall, man is in a state of incompleteness. That's why those business tycoons are chasing secretaries and cheating on their wives and lying and stealing to make another $1 million. That's why down and out people are living under bridges tonight, because, you know, they're incomplete. MacArthur says this, talking about this, the unsaved men, whether it's a street person or a New York tycoon. He is spiritually incomplete because he is totally out of fellowship with God. He is morally incomplete, and that's why they act the way they do so often, because he lives outside of God's will. He is mentally incomplete because he does not know the ultimate truth. But at salvation, folks, we become complete in him. don't sell yourself short on this. No, none of us are perfect. We all struggle with sin and will to the day we die. But don't sell yourself short in how far you've come. Be sure to give God the honor and the glory for it. But have you ever thought about where you would be had you not come to know Jesus Christ as your Savior? I can't imagine what a wreck my life would be. I am so blessed with my children and my grandchildren. And, and my wife. I'll throw her into But so I think sometimes we get so, I was thinking about this as I was preparing this, and I'm thinking about myself too. We're so close to the forest, we don't see the trees, or we only see, you know, the critters, the snakes and the spiders. We're focused on that. When look up around you. Here's again another take on that. Believers are spiritually complete because they have fellowship with God. You don't have to go home tonight and toss and turn and worry about where did I come from? Why am I here? Where am I going? You know that. They're morally complete and they recognize the authority of God's will. If God, you know, I think the folks in this room, you want me to tell you what this book says? You're doing life and busy work, and I've been called to preach God's plan. You work, support the church, I study, and I'm up here to help you, and I should tell you this is what God's word says, and you take it at face value, and you're a much better person because of it, and you change accordingly. They're morally complete in that they recognize the authority of God's will, and they are mentally complete because they know the truth about ultimate reality. We don't need to wring our hands. He is in control. And again, let's be careful that we don't take that for granted. I mean, think about the fact, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He wasn't sort of God. There's no confusion about who that man was. And ye are complete in him. Two final quotes, we're done. Charles Spurgeon, number one. Concerning that verse, he told his people over 100 years ago, who dealt with the same issues back then. He said to them, you are like vessels filled up to the brim. You are like warriors thoroughly furnished, fully armed for the fight. You are complete in him. You need to appreciate that tonight. You need to pause and say, you know, Lord, sometimes I get frazzled, sometimes I worry, sometimes I get discouraged. And those are human feelings we all deal with, but it is a very good thing for us, though, maybe after a message like this to go home tonight and think, you know, but in the grand scheme of things, I am blessed. So greatly blessed. And we'll end with this insight from J. Vernon McGee, talking about ye are complete in him. He says, complete is a nautical term, and it could be translated in this very vivid way. You are ready for the voyage of life in him. You're ready. In Christ, you are ready. All these other unsaved people that we hope and pray will get saved, they're pursuing the craziest stuff, not ever finding what they're looking for. They never will. Outside of Christ. But us, we're ready for the voyage of life in him. And he says, isn't that a wonderful way of saying it? You're ready for the voyage of life in Christ. And whatever you need for the voyage of life, you will find in him. Let us quit panicking. Let us quit worrying. Let us quit wringing our hands. Let us understand that we are complete in him. Now, we're human. We're frail. And when problems come our way, some things are going to come to the surface that are going to discourage us, but that we need to work on. But let that encourage us to look to him all the more, trust in him all the more, and then to realize that indeed we are complete in him. And again, don't sell yourself short. Yeah, you got problems, you got issues, you got bills to pay, and you know, you kids and grandkids and what have you. But you're in Christ, and you're complete in Him. And you're, even with the issues that you are facing, aren't you still, this is a stupid question, aren't you still way better off than all those lost people? You're still way better off than those folks. With what problems we do have, and we all have them. You know, so, perspective. We are complete in Him. In who? In Him that dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, Jesus. I don't mean to be crude about our Lord, but all our eggs are in that basket. They're all in that basket. And Paul wrote this to people who were confused, and the Lord said, I'm going to preserve it now up for 2,000 years because there's going to be other people that struggle wondering, is he really real? Was he really him? Is it really true? And Paul says, yes. And he ought to know because he met him. Amen? We have an eyewitness account.
Thank you for listening to today's message. We hope that the service was a blessing to you and that you were encouraged by God's Word. If you have any questions about Myo Baptist Church, please contact us anytime. You can find contact information on our website at myobaptistchurch.com. Thanks for listening.